In our present conference, I thought we would address ourselves to the subject of the sacrifice of the Mass. There is no doubt that the most distinctive feature of the Catholic faith is our belief that although Christ died once on the cross, he renews the sacrifice of Calvary every time that Mass is offered. It is only because we have the priesthood that we have the Mass. But as by now we know, while it requires a priest to change the elements of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, and no one else but a validly ordained priest can offer Mass, the Mass is not only the Mass said by the priest, it is our Mass. And for the next half an hour, I would like to suggest ways in which we can assist at Mass more profitably, benefit from all the Masses offered throughout the Catholic world more effectively, and in the process, not only sanctify ourselves, but help, which is the theme of today, the sanctification of priests. Sometimes people wonder how it is possible for Christ, who is now immortal, glorified, who can no longer suffer and die, what possible meaning can the Mass as a sacrifice have? What do we mean when we say, in every Mass, Jesus Christ offers himself, body and blood, to his Heavenly Father? Suppose we were to make a simple comparison. My parents were born in present Slovakia. Incidentally, my mother was born a few miles from where the Holy Father's mother was born. Mother and Dad never met until they both emigrated to America. I was born, just for the record, in the United States. Since 1948, the country in which my parents were born has been in the hands of the communists. And of all countries in Europe where communism is established, in Czechoslovakia, the control is most absolute, and the freedom of the people is almost non-existent. Suppose, to bring out what I want to explain in this morning's half-hour conference, suppose a teacher from a communist country like Slovakia were held to court and accused of not obeying the law by teaching Marxism. It is absolutely forbidden to teach Christianity. Suppose this young teacher admits, say, to her guilt, "Yes, I broke the law. I taught the children about Jesus Christ." And suppose the teacher were sentenced to death for disobeying the law. As you know, the death penalty behind the Iron Curtain is very common. Suppose, after having been condemned, the night before the execution, the guilty teacher was acquitted, told to behave herself, and released. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute or so, so listen carefully. Suppose that teacher disobeyed the law 7 successive times, and finally, after being hailed before the court for the 7th time for not teaching Marxism but insisting on teaching Christianity, suppose this time, having been condemned to death, the execution was carried out. My question, how many times did that teacher offer her life to God? 7 times. Are we clear? I teach theology. This is not theology for the sake of instruction. It's to bring out the meaning of our faith. The essence of sacrifice is in the will. It is the willingness to lay down one's life that constitutes the sacrifice of martyrdom. Now we come back to the Mass. We now reverse the process. Christ began by actually, physically, dying on Calvary, shedding his blood. And the sisters on the premises, to keep reminding them that they were handmaids of the precious blood, where? Call it a wine red or a blood red habit. Wine, because it is wine that is consecrated of the Mass, and the color of blood is red. Christ tells us infallibly through his church that every time Mass is offered, like this morning, when that double consecration, that is, a separate consecration of bread first, then of wine, when that double consecration is performed, Christ tells us, "I am making an act of the will, being willing, ready, to sacrifice my life for you, just as I did on Calvary. I can no longer die." But we said before The essence of sacrifice is not in the death. Are we clear? The essence of the sacrifice is in the will being ready to die. Suppose a priest consecrated only the bread. Would we have a mass? Yes or no? Suppose he consecrated just the wine. Would we have a mass? No. In fact, if a priest did not even intend to consecrate first the bread and then the wine, there would be no mass. The Mass is therefore a true sacrifice because there's a real human being on the altar. You see, God as God cannot offer a sacrifice. That's why he became a human being. So we'd have a human will. And with a human will to offer his human life to his Heavenly Father. On the altar, we have a human being. That human being has a human will. With that human will, he is offering himself. Now, the shift. And us to his Heavenly Father. He is now glorified. He can no longer die. He now has a body that can no longer suffer. We have a body in which we can suffer. His human soul, now glorified, can no longer experience any disappointment, any sadness, any sorrow. We have a human soul. Can we experience sadness and sorrow and disappointment? The difference between the cross on Calvary and the Mass is not that there is a difference between the Christ who offers the sacrifice, same Jesus. The difference is that on the altar, Christ is offering not just himself, but also us. Remember about 45 minutes ago, let's make it an hour ago, after the offertory, I said to you what you hear at every Mass. Pray, brethren, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Could all of you say your response now? Pray, brethren, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Reply. Okay. In other words, the congregation joins in the sacrifice. Christ on Calvary has ready, as we said in the homily, gained for us all the graces that a thousand times a thousand worlds would need to be redeemed. But if you forget anything else I say, and I've discovered the longer I talk, the less people remember. Try not to forget this. Christ on Calvary, in offering his first mass, endured his cross, and because he suffered willingly, he redeemed the world. In the Mass, we are to offer our cross, our sufferings, our disappointments, our pains. I almost feel I'm boasting when I tell people, when I had my heart surgery, today, by the way, is my first anniversary of my four-way bypass in Chicago. Needless to say, I'm happy to be here. It was my 17th hospitalization as a Jesuit. When I entered the novitiate, in 1 month he put me in the hospital. I thought they were going to throw me out of the order. They want able-bodied Jesuits. Well, I managed to survive. There is great consolation in realizing that every trial the Lord sends us, every rejection, every failure, every cross is meant to be, and I don't use the adjective, without deliberation, is meant to be a sweet gift from God. I sure hope I'm talking to people who understand this language. In other words, we are not merely to attend Mass, which we do, or assist at Mass, which we're supposed to, or participate in the Mass, which again, at least once a week, is our Catholic duty. We are supposed to live the Mass. It is both that simple to express in words, and my friends, that hard to put into practice. Now we ask ourselves, how are we to practice or live out this life of sacrifice, which makes not only our assistance at Mass, but our union with all the Masses, some 400,000 a day, offered throughout the Catholic world, fruitful, because, remember, just because Mass is offered and Christ becomes really present, and really, as far as he is concerned, offers himself willingly to his Heavenly Father. Hear this? The Mass is only as fruitful, it is only as effective, as our lives are lives of sacrifice. All right? That's why I tell people without batting an eye, Christianity without a cross is paganism. That's what living our faith is all about. We are to live lives of sacrifice. Now, practically speaking, how do we do that? It's really much more simple, at least, to express than it may seem. How does God give us the blessed opportunity to live the Mass all our lives? To will. God puts into our lives things which we do not like. He sends us pain, suffering, disappointment. That is one form of sacrifice. We naturally all like to be healthy. So leave it to God. He will send us sickness. And He's positively ingenious in the types of pain He can send. We all like to live a long life. None of us likes to die young. I've been giving the sisters conferences on Jesuit saints. Our conference last night was on a saint who died at the age of 43. There are saints. We've got three young Jesuit saints, age 18, 22, and 24. You don't have to live long to become a saint. I hate to say this, but I feel safe in saying it. One reason that God keeps some people longer on this earth than others, in order that they might have more chance to expiate their sins. All I know is it's true in my case. Christ, therefore, will send us the opportunity for offering sacrifice, first of all by sending us in our lives things we don't like. There are people whom, frankly, we don't appreciate. People who can cause us all kinds of difficulty and trial. In the same way, God can and does put all kinds of pleasant things into our lives. Leave it to God. Mark my words. There is no creature in our lives, nothing that we like or enjoy or appreciate, that God will not take away. All right? Leave it to God. Those are the two kinds of sacrifice that He asks of us. Of sending us pain and of removing pleasure. And between those two is the whole of human history. There is no other way that mankind has ever suffered. Now we come back. Everybody, but everybody suffers. We enter the world crying. And unless we are drugged in our last agony, we leave the world in a spasm of pain. Between birth and death, there was a certain amount of pleasure and enjoyment, but there is sure plenty of suffering. However, suffering in itself is not yet sacrifice. What makes suffering into sacrifice? It is our will. Am I making sense? We all have to suffer. That's life. And whatever else, I can beg you, do not run away from the cross. First of all, that's an illusion. We are not yet in heaven. Needless to say, we are still in this valley of tears. I like that expression. Every once in a while, we dry our tears. And then, another reason for weeping. The secret is to accept the suffering with our will. Our bodies may quiver. Our feelings may complain. Remember Christ in his agony in the garden? Very human, wasn't he? But what did he say? Let not my will, but yours be done. To live this way is to live the sacrifice of the Mass. We don't have to go around looking for the cross. I don't think it's wise, even though some of the saints, specially inspired from on high, may have done it. I don't think it's wise to ask God, Lord, send me the cross. But they do pray and ask that God might give us the generosity out of love for him and gratitude for all that he's done for us and given to us. We ask for the strength, like Our Lady, to say, be it done to me. I like that prepositional phrase. Be it done to me according to your word. Keep saying yes. Ask God for the strength. Never to say no. And you will not only grow in union with God, obtain grace for yourselves and those whom you love, but would you believe it? You will experience the only true joy on earth. the joy of enduring out of love. Jesus, you who offer yourself thousands of times daily on our altar, give me something of your total resignation to the will of God in living the sacrifice of your Mass and mine until you call me to yourself, where I will no longer have to suffer for you, but enjoy you for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.